know something of the basics of living and the basics of faith. It's the stuff that we do almost automatically without that much thought. The rituals and mechanisms that we take for granted. How we go about the day and the devotional touches that we do without a whole lot of thought. The simple fact that we do often pause reverentially before a meal, pray when we rise and when we lie down, and in between. This is our practice in many forms and shapes, to be sure, but it's what we do and what we have done for time out of mind. And I've been put in mind of that of, okay, now we teach, this is what we do and why we do it and how we do it to the next generation. We do it this way unless, of course, we happen to be in public and the occasion calls for the blessing of a meal or something like that. Then we just sort of walk awkwardly around and find the most holy person in the place to say, no, 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 you do this. You pray. Pastor Bryce, Pastor Emily, wouldn't you ask the blessing, which we are honored to do, always. But I always find it a little bit interesting that the priesthood of all believers starts somewhere before speaking in public. So with all of this out there and with all of this, knowing that this is what we do and how we do it and why, it seems that we'd be fairly much at home with at least this section of the sermon, this handbook of the kingdom. Pray so that no one else knows it. Give when no one else is watching. Got it. We can do this, Jesus. In a tradition with an inclination towards the quiet and the inconspicuous, we're all about this. Sometimes we might even wonder, so when do you pray? How do you pray? We can almost see ourselves nodding along, knowing that Jesus, right as always, is for once not talking to us, but everybody else in their way, in their being. And that's good, because for all the radical head-turning stuff that Jesus has been saying in the sermon, here we know that, well, we're basically there already. Or at least so we can think. Yet, we know that there is a lot that we can learn about prayer, about connecting with God. No matter where we find ourselves or how we practice or where we practice, we can feel the thing of, yeah, I wonder how I might speak better, pray more, be more connected. And as nice as it would be, there are no easy formulas and means or metaphors that just simply can be given and said, well, here, just do this, take two, call me in the morning, and you'll pray better. Except for the one prescription that does work, is that the only way to pray well is to pray. Stick with the awkward, stick with the I don't know, and keep doing it. It's the only way it gets better. Prayer is something that we assume we just do. A natural conversation that happens time and again without effort or second thought. But to get to that level of familiarity does take intention and practice, and most of that may well feel beyond us. So we fall back on the usual things. Now think we all are God. The graces of our childhood, maybe even now they lay me down to sleep. And on we go. And of course we know that when there is something to be done, there are multiple ways to do it. And there's always a way to do it in competition. And to be competitive prayers. In our early growing up years, my brother and I shared a bedroom, and we'd be sat on bunk beds where we'd have the rituals of good night, the occasional story, the huds, and, of course, the verbal articulation of our respective prayers. It was like something out of an old Lassie rerun, where we'd take our turn articulating our ever-growing list of people that we'd like to be blessed and the blessings that we would like to receive for ourselves. It's a fairly ideal thing in a Rock Williams sort of way. That was at least until we figured out what we were doing and noticed that we could do things differently relative to one another. And when we reached the point of realizing that it was our chance to talk to God and to be there, then the competition was on. First, it was a matter of how complete can you make your list of blessings? Because not only is this good for piety, but it also extends bedtime. Bonus. But then there are points for phrasing and length. And if one could slip in a scriptural allusion or so much the better. And pretty soon I think we began expecting that the heavenly host of way off wonder was holding up scores like a skating competition. Almost like, ooh, he's attempting something tricky here. He's asking for a new bike, but not just for him, but for someone else too. So that's okay. A high degree of difficulty there. Before too long, the more that we could ask and the longer we could make it, the more thoroughly we could pray. And sometimes I think that's even what sticks with us along the way. Because that's what comes naturally enough. When we're speaking in the same vein time and again, we often think that, well, more is always better, and that praying is ultimately about, you know, communicating to God all the stuff that we need. All the stuff that we require. And if you survey the general public, that's probably what we most often mean by prayer. Prayer is what you do when you go and you articulate to God the stuff that you and the people that you care about need. And of course, that's what we do. Because that's what we must do. We take the people and the situations that we love and we hold them up to God, because where else do we go? And we know that God hears and God answers and God embraces that in our hopes. Sometimes when we have prayed and prayed and still the situation that we prayer around remains unchanged, or worse, it seems to have gone the direction that we would have prayed against, we don't know what to say. And when we look at the prayers of Jesus himself, there is a certain form that they take. They articulate the need. They articulate the want. Praying for the disciples that they might be one and be held in love at the end of his life. Praying fervently that the cup that he knew that he must drink might somehow pass him by. Praying fully to know the will of God. But where Jesus often prays, but not my will, but your will, makes a huge difference in the end. I think that's one of the differences that we can key in on. That when we pray, that we pray into the way of the kingdom. As much as we ever petition God, we also pray into the way of being part of the kingdom, part of what God is doing. As much as we ever want to sway God, by all means, let us commend each other to the care of the Almighty. But there is always a challenge to do so, knowing that all the time, God is also wanting to shape us into the kingdom people that we are becoming. To also yield to the goodness of God, which sometimes is beyond our imagination. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here in speaking about this piety. Pray to shape the world, he says, but always be open to the way of God that will time and again shape us in return, moving us towards the kingdom. The sense of reward in the presence and reward in the kingdom speaks to the nature of being shaped for what is important, not just now, not just in the problem of the day, but also to receive the work of the kingdom in the long term. On that level, the work of prayer is part of the work of the broader Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is given to inaugurate the kingdom and to set up the way of hearing and being shaped by that kingdom. I think this example prayer that Jesus gives, that Jesus holds up for us, speaks well to this double nature of prayer. I'm leaving off the doxology part, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen. As good as that is, the original Greek manuscripts don't have it. It's not there. And actually, not all of Christian traditions even pray that part. It's more of a Protestant thing. But look at this with me. We have the requests directed outward and upward, acknowledging who God is, where God is, asking God to bring about the kingdom in God's way. And as you've walked with me over the last years, you know that for me, that's a very important sentence in many, many ways. I think your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is the prayer that we could all pray every moment of every day and still be challenged anew to trust that will, to spread that hope and to see that kingdom. All this are followed by general requests along the physical needs and wants that they might be met, that forgiveness might be known, and that temptation might be avoided where possible. Short, to the point, but with endless possibilities and endless meaning. There's a whole series of sermons right here. And maybe one day there will be. What's worthy of note here is what's not here. Do you catch it? We're not seeing the pronoun I. This isn't a whole lot about me and I and what I am doing. And really, if this is our model for prayer, how do we pray this prayer while inserting ourselves? Ultimately, you can't pray this prayer thinking only of self, only as individual, but always reaching out beyond me into something bigger. The petitions for forgiveness, provision, and deliverance are ones that we strongly identify with and have deep, meaningful personal resonance for each and every one of us in profound ways. But they always direct us out beyond ourselves, beyond our own means. And that can be a bit of a challenge, especially when we like our faith very personal and very individual. We can pray this and be shaped by this, ministering to ourselves, yes, always, but always being pulled time and again towards something bigger than ourselves. We pray for peace in Ukraine, and we're always challenged to think about how we might build peace, where we are and how we are. We might pray for the provision of all that we need, even while we're reminded of all that we can share. And we pray this time and again to be shaped anew. It's kind of like metalwork, so far as I understand it. I know that I'm not the expert here. But if you take a piece of metal and simply try to shape it once and for all by giving it a good whack, you might dent it, but by and large, it's going to stay the shape it was. To actually really shape something or give something a curve or something different, it's a lot of little hits and adjustments and taps and movements, and heat, and cool, and all the rest. So it is also for us in prayer. We pray, yes, to pray and to be heard, but we also pray to be shaped in that way, in that slow process, and being moved over time and over form into what we're being called to be. The Sermon on the Mount sets out the way of the kingdom and invites us into things that, by Jesus' own admission, will not come easily to us. Jesus has been reversing everything of how the world usually is as he sets out the goals of the kingdom. We are led to ask, how are we to do any of this? It's not easy to forgive as we've been forgiven by God. It is not easy to trust God for provision. It's not easy to say that our enemies are the ones that we will also struggle to find a way to love. But it's only in prayer, in personal, private, authentic ways, that Jesus shapes us and moves us time and again, slowly, towards the shape of thy kingdom. We are given a radical rooting prayer for a radical task. And radical means what is most important at the root of who you are. And the task is always to come closer to the kingdom. And the prayer invites us into that closeness and into this way. And we pray this every day simply so we can be changed. I'm always challenged by what an important relationship prayer feeds and how prayer changes us, even as I fully confess, yeah, it's an area where I too need to grow. My most natural prayer for me goes something like, oh God, who art in heaven, hey, did you see that bird fly by? The life of prayer is not easily or consistently lived. If we're called time and again into the practice to be shaped towards who we are, towards the full and final change, when the kingdom does come on earth as it is in heaven. With all this in mind, with all this in play, may we pray always, and in praying, be shaped slowly towards the way of the kingdom, as God comes and answers not only our wants, but also our deep needs as well. May it be so. Amen.